The scripture reading this morning, if you would like to turn there with me, will be taken from Deuteronomy chapter 31. Deuteronomy chapter 31 will begin at verse 7. Then Moses called Joshua and said to him in the sight of all Israel, "Be strong and of good courage, for you must go with this people to the land which the Lord hath sworn to their fathers to give to them, and you shall cause them to inherit it. And the Lord, He is the one who goes before you. He will be with you, He will not leave you, nor forsake you. Do not fear, nor be dismayed."
Anton says that the swords send their love. Of course, we saw them a while ago, back in the summer. And they have had some more problems. They had to leave the country again, but they are back. And anyway, they sent their greetings to us. Also, we have some college students that are back with us. Good to see them. And we have several other visitors with us. I don't know that I'll get everybody's name here, but we have Barbara Davis from Macon, Georgia. Emily Rouse is visiting with us. The Sanderson family from Oviedo, and they usually attend Westmoreland, but they're here today. And also Nathan's parents, Mr. and Mrs. Lester, and I may have omitted some, but that's all that I had the cards for. But we're all glad that you're all here. As announced earlier, we have some of our members who are away, but we're glad that we're together and offering up our worship to God this morning. Next Sunday morning, we begin our survey of the book of Joshua in our Bible study on Sunday morning and Wednesday evening. And therefore decided to discuss Joshua, the great leader and successor of Moses, this morning with some lessons to follow from the book, Lord willing, next Sunday morning. There are five things we want to notice concerning Joshua. And the first one of these is that he feared God. Joshua feared God. The book of Proverbs says, "The fear of the Lord tends to life." Chapter 19 and the first part of verse 23. Certainly, Joshua feared the Lord and encouraged the people to do likewise. Let's take a look at Joshua chapter 4, beginning with verse 20. Joshua chapter 4, beginning with verse 20. And these 12 stones which they took out of the Jordan, Joshua set up in Gilgal. And then he spoke to Israel, saying, "When your children ask their fathers in times to come, saying, 'What are these stones?' then you shall let your children know, saying, 'Israel crossed over Jordan on dry land.' For the Lord your God dried up the waters of the Jordan before you until you had crossed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up before us until we had crossed over, that all the peoples of the earth may know the hand of the Lord that is mighty, that you may fear the Lord your God forever." Not only did Joshua fear the Lord himself, but he wanted the people to have that same attitude. And setting up the stones would be a constant reminder of God's great might and the fact that we ought to fear Him who has all power. So Joshua feared the Lord, and he communicated that to those who followed him and had followed Moses previously and would enter the land. Prior to his death, everyone knows that God had Joshua set before the people the choice that they had to make whom they would serve. That's a well-known passage, but oftentimes overlooked is what immediately precedes that in Joshua 24 and verse 14. As just prior to giving them that choice, Joshua says, "Now therefore, fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the river and in Egypt. Serve the Lord." Notice that this entire passage starts with the words, "Fear the Lord." And then all else that he says would follow. But first, they needed to fear the Lord. Was Joshua a hypocrite? Just telling others that they should, what they should do, but failing to do so himself? No, it is clear that Joshua himself first feared the Lord and proved it by his obedience to the Lord. He obeyed Moses when he was God's representative, when Moses was, that is. And Joshua respected that. And therefore, when Moses gave him a command, he followed it, knowing that Moses was representative of God. So let's look at Exodus chapter 17 and verse 10. Exodus chapter 17 and verse 10. "So Joshua did as Moses said to him and fought with Amalek." So he had been given that commission. Moses gave it to him. He knew that that was of God, so he was obedient. He did not hesitate. He did not set forth excuses. He was commanded to go and do it. And he went and did it. Then going back to the book of Joshua in chapter 11, we want to notice verse 15. Joshua 11:15, "As the Lord had commanded Moses his servant, so Moses commanded Joshua. And so Joshua did. He left nothing undone of all that the Lord had commanded Moses." You know, we point out rightly that Noah was obedient because as God commanded him, thus did Noah. Twice is that stated. But Noah was not the only faithful man. Noah was not the only one who feared God. Obviously, Joshua did also. And so whatever he is commanded to do, that is what he did. He obeyed God when not only Moses gave him instructions, but also when God gave him instructions. Let's turn back to Joshua chapter 5. Joshua chapter 5, and in verse 2, "At that time the Lord said to Joshua, 'Make flint knives for yourself and circumcise the sons of Israel again the second time.'" And that's exactly what we find Joshua doing in verses 3 and 4. Whatever the command of God is, whether it came through Moses or whether it comes directly to Joshua, he always obeys because he fears the Lord. And in verse 15, same chapter, "Then the commander of the Lord's army said to Joshua, 'Take your sandal off your foot, for the place where you stand is holy.' And Joshua did so." Then also in chapter 11, verse 9 this time, we looked at verse 11 a moment ago, Joshua 11, 9, "So Joshua did to them as the Lord had told him." We find this kind of obedience mentioned several times concerning Joshua. Truly, we could talk about many people from the Old Testament, but truly, Joshua feared the Lord. The second thing we want to notice about Joshua is that he was faithful to God. Now, all that we have already said in connection with Joshua fearing the Lord, we could also say concerning this point. All of those things that we noticed are elements of faithfulness as well. But let's explore it just a little bit further. To further highlight the faithfulness of Joshua, let's take a look at what he did in his report to the nation of Israel as one of the 12 spies. When the 10 spies brought up an evil report of the land, and the people were so discouraged that they wanted to choose a new leader and return to Egypt, Joshua and Caleb stood tall as men of faith. So we read in Numbers chapter 14, verses 6 through 9. And Joshua, and this is immediately after the proposal to choose a new leader and go back to Egypt. Joshua, chapter 14, verse 6, the son of Nun and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, who were among those who had spied out the land, tore their clothes. And they spoke to all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, the land we passed through to spy out is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delights in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord, nor fear the people of the land, for they are our bread. Their protection has departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them. People either fear people or they fear God. These did not fear God. They feared the people of the land. But Joshua and Caleb stood strong. Only a man of faith can stand against the majority and advocate doing what is right. Many people will cave in. The rest of the nation caved in. But Joshua was a man of faith, and he proved it. So a man of faith will, number one, stand against the majority. Number two, will do things that God commands, even though it's something quite unusual or something quite difficult. Let's look at Joshua chapter 3 and verse 9. Joshua chapter 3, beginning with verse 9. So Joshua said to the children of Israel, come here and hear the words of the Lord your God. And Joshua said, by this you shall know that the living God is among you, and that he will without fail drive out from before you the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Hivites and the Perizzites and the Girgashites and the Amorites and the Jebusites. Behold, the ark of the covenant of the Lord of all the earth is crossing over you, over before you rather, into the Jordan. Now therefore, take for yourselves 12 men from the 12 tribes of Israel, one man in every tribe, and it shall come to pass as soon as the soles of his feet, the feet of the priests who bear the ark of the Lord of all the earth shall rest in the waters of the Jordan, that the waters of the Jordan shall be cut off, the waters that come down from upstream, and they shall stand as a heap. Well now, that's not something that occurs naturally. That's not something that anyone had ever seen except those who crossed the Red Sea. They had seen it occur there. But this was not an ordinary occurrence. But Joshua is told if the priests will step into the Jordan, the rivers will stop flowing and be piled up as a heap. And that's what happens. A man of faith knows that God will keep his word on that matter. The same thing could be said of Jericho, number 3, where they were told to march around the city 7 days and finally, seven times on the seventh day, and raise up their voices and shout, and the walls would come down. Anybody ever seen that happen before? Nobody in Israel had. Has anybody ever seen it happen since? No. But God said it would happen. And Joshua, as a man of faith, believed what God said to him. And as then we read in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 30, by faith the walls of Jericho fell. Joshua then is a man of faith. Let's look at one more thing, though, from Joshua chapter 10. This is also an extraordinary one-time event. Joshua 10, beginning with verse 12. Then Joshua spoke to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel, and he said, in the sight of Israel, sun stand still over Gibeon, and moon in the valley of Ajalon. So the sun stood still, and the moon stopped, till the people had revenge on their enemies. Is this not written in the book of Jasher? So the sun stood still in the midst of the heaven, and did not hasten to go down for about a whole day. And there has been no day like that, before it or after it, that the Lord heeded the voice of a man, for the Lord fought for Israel. Why did the Lord heed the voice of a man? Because he was a man of faith. He was a man of faith, and God listened to his request. Only a man of faith would realize, number one, that God had such power, and number two, that he would use it on Israel's behalf. Though Joshua feared the Lord and was a man of faith. Three, Joshua was fully prepared. While it is true that the people accepted Joshua as leader in place of Moses, Deuteronomy 34:9, the reason is probably that they had seen him in action before and knew him to be a faithful man. They saw him in the battle that was fought earlier that we already mentioned, Exodus chapter 17, verse 13. He had been Moses' assistant and had learned from him. He even accompanied Moses to the mountain of God. Let's take a look at Exodus 24, verses 13 and 14. Exodus 24, beginning with verse 13. So Moses arose with his assistant, Joshua. And Moses went up to the mountain of God, and he said to the elders, wait here until we come back to you. Indeed, Aaron and Hur are with you. If any man has a difficulty, let him go to them. But he took Joshua, his assistant, with him. Also, Joshua served Moses and stayed at the tabernacle, at least on one occasion, Exodus chapter 33 and verse 11. So the Lord spoke to Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friend, and he would afterward return to the camp. But his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, did not depart from the tabernacle. Joshua had training. He had many times to show his worth and was fully prepared to assume the role of leadership over God's people. He was a man of faith who would succeed in everything that God gave him to do. Number four, Joshua fulfilled the role that he had as leader. Let's look at what God said to Joshua at the very outset in Joshua chapter 1. Beginning with verse 2. God says, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, Go over this Jordan, you and all the people, to the land which I am giving them, the children of Israel. God wasted no time in giving Joshua a command, but he had a little bit more to say to him. And in verse 5, he says, "No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you serve to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. The book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." Joshua believed that because he was a man of faith, and he trusted what God said to him. And in fact, God brought all of this about. If we go to Joshua chapter 21, let's take a look at the last three verses of Joshua 21, verses 43 through 45. "So the Lord gave to Israel all the land." Now notice, not some of it, not part of it. "He gave to Israel all the land of which he had sworn to give to their fathers. And they took possession of it and dwelt in it." Now this is after all of the conquering and dividing up the land to the tribes and all of that. But it says it was fulfilled. "The Lord gave them rest all round according to all that he had sworn to their fathers. And not a man of all their enemies stood against them. The Lord delivered all their enemies into their hand." Not a word failed of any good thing which the Lord had spoken to the house of Israel. All came to pass. Joshua fulfilled his role as leader. God commissioned him, and he followed through and did what God required. He fulfilled his role as a leader. Number 5, Joshua was a father with conviction. As a leader, he emphasized the choice that was given to them by God. We mentioned this earlier. Now we want to read all of verses 14 and 15 in Joshua 24. Well, the first part of verse 15 anyway. "Now therefore, fear the Lord, serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the river and in Egypt. Serve the Lord. And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are dwelling. But as for me and my house, we shall serve the Lord." There is a father with conviction for his family. They were given this choice as to whom they would serve. Now, you would think they would want to serve God since he had conquered the land and given it to them. But those other choices were still around. They still remembered gods from on the other side of the river, from the days of Abraham. They still remembered the gods in Egypt. And now they were in a land where they had another set of deities. There were all kinds of choices available to them. So they needed to choose who they were going to serve. Now let's look at verse 19. After the people said and claimed, "We will serve God," verse 18, Joshua then said to the people, "You cannot serve the Lord, for he is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins. If you forsake the Lord and even serve foreign gods, then he will turn and do you harm and consume you after he has done you good." And the people said to Joshua, "No, but we will serve the Lord." So Joshua said to the people, "You are witnesses against yourselves that you have chosen the Lord for yourselves to serve him." And they said, "We are witnesses." They were determined, though, to serve the Lord. Maybe part of the reason for that was Joshua's declaration first. "You choose who you're going to serve, but as for me and my house, we are going to serve the Lord." Now, not all men are going to have a position of leadership as Moses did and as Joshua did. In fact, no one is in these days, because we don't have a nation of Israel. We don't have a theocracy. We have the Lord's church. And there is already a permanent leader in charge, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is head over his body, the church. So we are not going to have one man in the whole world who is head over the Lord's body. We already have him. He is Jesus. We are not going to have one person over a congregation, because God did not design it that way. There must be at least two. But the church does need leaders. Not one to be over everything, but to be over some things. The church needs men who, number one, fear God, showing it by their obedience. And number two, who are faithful in little as well as great tasks. And number three, who fulfill their roles, who hopefully have been trained and are willing to grow into that work and lead others. And number four, we need men as Joshua, who are fathers, men of conviction, who know where their family is going to go, and who know that their families are going to serve the Lord. Longfellow wrote a poem called A Psalm of Life. One of the stanzas in it is particularly appropriate to what we've been discussing. "Lives of great men all remind us we can make our lives sublime, and departing leave behind us footprints on the sands of time." Joshua made a great impact on the nation of Israel, not only during his generation, but for the generation to come. We need leaders like him. We need fathers like him who will do the same in this age for the coming generation. If you have not obeyed the gospel, you cannot be the kind of person Joshua was, because you must first exercise your faith in obedience to what the Lord requires. And he requires that you repent of your sins, confess that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and be buried with him in baptism so that your sins can be washed away. This is the first thing that faith will cause you to do. But then it will carry you through to desiring to know more of the Word of God, to study it and to learn it and develop it and live it, so that we can have men of faith in the future. If you have not obeyed the gospel, it's time for you to begin that journey. If you already have but have not been as faithful as you ought, and you know what faithfulness is as you see it in the life of Joshua, then should you not repent? If we can help you spiritually this morning, let us know while we stand and while we sing.